This is Wednesday evening, 3:10:21. I've studied so much this week on Revelation, I feel like it's oozing out of my pores. So anyway, we're looking at a no-nonsense look at the book of Revelation. The title of this is The Escape Clause. All right, read here a minute. The traditional rapture theory that infiltrated the church back in the 1800s has done nothing to help the church, but has instead caused them to view it as the escape clause. Escape means who cares about what's going on in our world? We won't be here anyway. This is deadly. This is a deadly way to think for the church, since Jesus left us with "Occupy till I come." All that being said, however, there are some scriptures that do indicate that at some point in time, we as mortals will be changed and become like Jesus, immortal. The body of Christ are not to be looking for an escape, but a place to reign. Romans 5:17, which we know what that says, we are to reign in life as kings. Instead of looking up and longing for heaven, we are to pray and say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as in heaven." Jesus, the short time he was here, brought us to the kingdom ways so we could do greater works than he did. It is my hope through this series of teaching to set right end time doctrine and help the church take its place and obey the Great Commission. You know what? It's going to be a sad state of affairs to stand before the Lord and you've done nothing. You've let your whole world go to hell in a handbasket. I heard something today. It was the funniest thing. I listened to 107 quite a bit, but he was on an interview and he was talking about Belshazzar and the handwriting on the wall. And what happened, you know, and how he acted. And, you know, and he said, but you know the way it is today, if these swamp creatures, he said, they'd probably say, "Call CNN out here. We're going to write an executive order that nobody can write on the wall, not anywhere in the United States. Nobody can even write on their refrigerator." I thought that was hilarious because I thought, he's exactly right. They don't repent of anything. All they do is evil, lie, steal, and kill. And never say, "Oh, I might be wrong." But I thought that the people down on the other end were just hoo-hawing because it was so funny the way he was telling it. It was, I didn't give it justice, but I thought, that's just about right. But isn't it going to be a sorry state of affairs to stand before the Lord and he'll say, "What did you do with what I told you to do? What did you do with what I gave you?" Talks about the talents. He's going to consider them a wicked servant. I didn't even have that down in this tonight, but that is true. When the reckoning came, let me see if I can find that. Is that Matthew? You know? I think it is. Just a minute. We've gotten so far away from the scripture. All right. Therefore, this is verse 44 of chapter 24. "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. And I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, 'My Lord delayeth his coming,' and shall begin to smite his fellow servants to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, so there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Look at 25:14. For the kingdom of heaven is as if a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. Now, this isn't natural jobs. You understand what I'm saying? This is what God has given you to do as part of him and his plan, his work. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his large money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so is he that receiveth 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. It's like what I quoted Kenneth Copeland saying, if the Lord only tells you to take out the trash, it'll be the most glorious thing that you ever do. It's not about how much you do, how big you are, or whatever. It's according to what he has given you to do. Whether it be 1, 2, 5. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathered where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I soweth not, gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from with him that hath not shall he be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I never looked at it that way, but the Holy Spirit must look at it that way. It is my hope through the series of these teachings on the end times to set right end time doctrine and help the church take its place and obey the Great Commission. If we are so focused on the rapture, we will never see the mission field right before us. The old saying, being heavenly minded and no earthly good, is insane. If we are truly heavenly minded, we will have a clear vision of God's vision of heaven in earth. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians. But there is, I want to kind of focus on tonight about, there is going to be a time that we change. This immortality is going to put on, or this mortality will put on immortality. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall we all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits. That's twice we've heard that word firstfruits. Afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, and he must reign till he hath put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, when I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to it me, if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and one glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. I never noticed that it said the kingdom of God. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor's not in vain in the Lord. I know that was a lot of scripture, but we know there's a change. Sounded different. We know there's a change taking place. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So flesh and blood cannot inherit what? Didn't say heaven. Never did say heaven. I ain't never said heaven. It says the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? Well, it's where we're ushering into the reign, the thousand-year reign will be in But it's the ways of God. It is his way. When Jesus came, he taught the kingdom of God. God's ways. It didn't say heaven here. It indicates here that this will be done at the last trump. Now, I don't want to confuse anybody with the seventh trumpet. I don't believe it's the seventh trumpet. Because with the seventh trumpet, there was just silence in heaven. We talk about the seven trumpets. We've looked at that. It is the last trumpet of the seven trumpets, but I just don't think that that's the same thing. Now, maybe we'll see. Rather, I think it's taps. Taps. Dun, 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 dun. Ain't that what they do at the end of the day? The end of the day. It's the end of the day. What day? The seventh day. The end of the day. God's 1,000-year reign. We'll look at that in the scripture here in a minute. In other words, the end of the day, you know, the last day of the 1,000-year reign of Christ in earth. Just a theory, really, but maybe not. As I was preparing this, that thought just came to me. It's the end of God's week. It's completed. All right. Revelation 21. I mean, go to the Lord about it and ask him. You know why most people don't know anything about the book of Revelation? Because they don't think, well, I can't understand it, so I'm not going to even mess with it. I don't even read it because I just get more confused every time I do. But who's the teacher of the church? Who's the decoder? The Holy Spirit. He knows how to unlock all of God's comms. And the book of Revelation are comms. You're going to have to diligently want to know what's here. It's kind of like Q. You've really got to dig to find out what it says, because it just, you can't read it on the surface and just at its face value and get anything out of it unless you know some things. Okay. All right, 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, this is after the 1,000-year reign, the Gog and Magog war, and then after the great white throne judgment. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. For God to do that, we have to be changed. Right? We have the mediator, Christ Jesus, but God, that's a different story. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall any tree be any more... neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. See, there's no more. The 7 days are complete. Purpose. What I believe the 1,000-year reign is about is because for 6,000 years humanity has been ravaged by the beast. I mean, I don't know how long Adam was alive before this started happening, but I don't think it was very long. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came out unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. Now think about it. A new heaven, new earth. The earth that's now is desecrated to its very core. The tunnels filled with blood, filled with human carnage, and God knows what else that has been done. See, God can't come down out of heaven with the new Jerusalem until this earth is new. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, there which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits. Think about what else is 144? The tribes, the sealed. Okay. According to the measure of a man that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth the beryl, the ninth the topaz, the tenth chrysopras, the eleventh the jacinth, the twelfth an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, and it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein. Why? No need. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the lively stones. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And all the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Okay. Chapter 22, just a few verses here. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it. On either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yield her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So the reason I read this was I want you to see, you know, it's when so much of the time it's, oh, when we all get to heaven. We weren't made for heaven. We were made for earth. We were made to rule and reign in the earth. Think about it in the garden. God walked with Adam in the cool of the day in the garden. There was no separation between God and Adam. All right, we'll see that as we keep going here. This is where God's heaven rests, on the new heaven and the new earth. I don't believe it can happen on this earth because I told you about the desecration. It has to be cleaned up. Okay, with that, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1. I think it's 1. I didn't write it down again. No, I'm right. Two. It's two. Now, I share a little bit of this with y'all, I think, Sunday, but it says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by his gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The Lord has quickened something to me, and I want to mention it to you. Let me get it right. I was making my confessions today about those that have committed treason, those that have, you know, committed pedophilia and all those kinds of things. I was quickened. Don't pray for them. Do not pray for them. I don't believe that they can be salvageable. I just tried to change my confession to the fact that, Lord, those that have gone that far, I consider it worship of Satan. And if you look all through the Old Testament, God, I mean, he just said, wipe them out. It's like they can't be changed, so they have to be killed. And I don't mean that in a, I'm just saying what the scripture says. Just like, that's why God could say go in and kill baby, suckling. Some cases even kill the cattle and the sheep and all that. It was because of the desecration. It was because they were of the evil one. They were not of God. They were not God's creation. And I know there are people that have done things, and maybe their crimes aren't as bad. And maybe they have not committed that act. But for those that have, I don't believe we can pray for them. And I heard someone say, well, it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I'm telling you, if you've gone that far, you're not going to be doing that. But anyway, for what that's worth, when you do that, think about that. All right. Where was I? Okay, verse, I just read. Let no man deceive you by any means, verse 3, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Under revealed, I drew a line and I put unsealed, Revelation 5, 1 through 14. Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Yeah, was sealed. Now it's revealed. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now liveth will it till he be taken out of the way. He was the one that was the worthy that opened the seal. Why, John, he started crying. And the elder said, don't cry. The Lamb. He is worthy. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness of them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Right there, I think, shows it's not possible for them. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. See, 17. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Okay, verse 7 particularly is what I want to focus on. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will it until he be taken out of the way, lad. Okay, what prevented? I believe, and covered it many times, that I believe it was the seals that were opened. Okay, now the seals are open so that we can see the 6,000 years of crimes against God and humanity. Just what was revealed from Anthony Weiner's laptop made hardened investigators and law enforcers vomit. They had to have psychological counseling. The Marines that are rescuing the children in the tunnels are having a hard time coping. In fact, they're going to be, I heard today that Texas is going to be one of the first states that has access to the med beds, because that's where the new government's going to be. But that these men that are down in there, these Marines that are going in there, they are having to have therapy and all kinds of things. They have been so traumatized by what they have found and what they're seeing. Okay, humans can't even conceive of the evil that has been done by Satan and his own. Right here, the mystery in that scripture there. The mystery means the secret or the idea of silence. When I heard that, I thought, Silence of the Lambs. You remember the movie, Silence of the Lambs? I didn't see it. This is what it was about. The Silence of the Lambs is a 1991 American psychological horror film directed by Jonathan Demme, written by Ted Talley, adapted from Thomas Harris's 1988 novel. It stars Jodie Foster as Clara Starling, a young FBI trainee who is hunting a serial killer, Buffalo Bill, is played by Ted Levine, who skins his female victims. He's a cannibal. I think that's symbolism. They're projecting. First, the lamb is a common symbol of innocence and of sacrifice. However, in order for a lamb to be a sacrificial lamb, it has to be killed under ritual circumstances or for ritualistic purposes. These people don't just kill to kill. This is ritual killings to their God. Just a movie, right? I think not. This has been going on for 6,000 years. We're waking up to the horrendous practice. It has been going on for centuries right under our feet. Now you know why Israel has been in hock most of its existence. They were told to not intermarry with the other nations for a reason. Now we're going to look over to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8. I remember just seeing him with that mask on. Creeped me out. I didn't want to see that. I'm glad I didn't see it. All right, Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 1. It came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the land of the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. He put forth the form of a hand and took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, and abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Now see, they had the holy implements. Men have been killed for messing with the implements alone, much less worshiping idols. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, The Lord saith not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. This is what the deal is about these Luciferians we deal with today. They've gotten sloppy because of their entitlement. They've thought they've gotten away with things, and so they've gotten so sloppy. They're not even covering it up anymore. You know, people come and say, God bless America, God bless America, God bless America. Yeah. What does he see when he looks down? He sees a phallic symbol over our nation's capital. A phallic symbol with the female vagina circle around it. It's like saying F you. F you, God. That's what it's saying. I'm just thankful to God he started waking us up and waking us up as Christians, because he had every right to just wipe the place clean. Oh, I'm just waiting for the rapture to get out of this place. Yeah, you come in and stink the place up and mess it up and just expect God to just, I'm out of here. Isn't that the attitude today? He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. It was a fertility god, Tammuz. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. Now this is in the inner court where the Holy of Holies was? Maybe that's not, but I thought the inner court was where, that's where only the priest went in. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs towards the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Which I believe that's Horus, the Egyptian god Horus. Ra, I don't know which one. They're all skanky. All right. What did he do? What did God tell Ezekiel to do? We're going to read. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate, which lie toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the written inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, Go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Folks, there is no changing the swamp. They have to be taken out. Slay utterly old and young. both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house, and he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And that they went forth and slew in the city. It came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Next thing you know, God's leaving. Elvis has left the building. God's chariot shows up and escorts the Spirit of God out of the temple. I don't want God to escort himself out of this place, which he's in us today, but you know what I'm saying. He still sees it the same. Morally, he sees it the same. Okay, there is no doubt that as flesh and blood, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, we can't. Look how putrid flesh is. We can't enter the kingdom of God without being changed. That's why Jesus came, so that we could be changed and could be like him. All right, with that, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. Well, to 1 Thessalonians, we were in 2. 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, God uses those that bear the sword. There are law officials that God uses them to do these executions. They're appointed by God to do so. Just like they said, God is the judge, but we will arrange the meeting. That's what's happening. I listened to someone last night, just a little bit of something. That little Nick guy from the UK, little Christian, real polite. There was a gentleman he was talking to, and I don't know who it was. It was just a clip. He was saying that there was 2,000 executions a day going on at Gitmo. And I thought, 2,000 executions a day? I'd not heard that. There's no telling. 1 Thessalonians 4. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I should write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands. And we command you that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Okay, caught there means to seize. So does this mean we go to heaven? I don't think so. It is just a meeting place. The scripture says that he would come the same way that he left. There's not a secret rapture. I'm sorry. I find it nowhere in the scriptures, and I've been studying all week. I mean, there's no secret rapture. But when he comes, is it appropriate to meet him? Yeah. Okay. First, go to Acts chapter 1. And when he had spoken these things, verse 9, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Okay? We've been led to believe there's a secret catching away. Revelation 1:7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now the Jews are going to see him. They're the ones that pierced him. Mm-hmm. The natural Jews too. Hebrews 12:1 talks about we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. I looked up the word cloud. It's all the same. It just means cloudiness. It doesn't mean people. Same word cloud in the Strong's just means cloudiness. All right. First, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, he talks about Christ, the first fruits. He will no longer die. He's immortal. God raised him from the dead. This is the same process that we will eventually go through. It is the change. Corruption will put on incorruption. It will not happen until all rule and authority is put down. Okay, now go to Revelation chapter 19. Unless they've taken out parts of this book, I can't find it anywhere. We're going to start with verse 11 there. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now, I gave you that reference last week of the angel armies in 2 Kings 6:17. Okay, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress, the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the sea of heaven, come and gather together yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. This was what we were taught, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Everybody just went to the rapture, and they went to this great big banquet in heaven. We're going to eat for 7 years while everybody's going through hell down here with Antichrist. That's all we were led to believe. Okay? That this is what the marriage supper of the Lamb is. Y'all know this. That ye may eat the flesh of kings. See, we're going to see the enemy devoured. Isn't that what we want? Talking about public executions. And that they may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of men, both free and bond, both small and great. Now you notice Jesus is dipped with a vesture dipped in blood. He's covered in blood, but not the blood, his blood. The sword out of his mouth has slain the wicked. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. This is Armageddon when the blood, you know, you see the different accounts. It's all the same story. It's a little different maybe in the ending, but it's still the same battle with the blood that flows to the horse's bridle. Probably Jesus's if his vesture's dipped in blood. Oh, lovely subject. Okay, here again with the rapture theory, it has to be the church on the white horses. Doesn't say that. Because I was thinking, maybe it's the cloud of witnesses, the one that's gone on before. Now, we've been taught that too. Hey, I've read the Left Behind series several times. Seen all the movies. All right, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 1. Do y'all know scripture interprets scripture too? Yeah, you can't just pull out something and say, well, that's rapture. You know, if you can't prove the whole enchilada, you just don't even start. That's the thing. They cone in on one there, one here, one there, one there. And they put it all together. There you go. There's our rapture. First Thess, what I tell y'all? 6:1-6. I don't know why I picked this. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. Huh. Unless it's 2, I could have done that wrong again. Is it 2? Well, it's a mystery to me. Okay, let me see what I put after it. Wait a minute. Hold on. Like I said, I've done a lot of study this week. It's not that. Okay, well, let's just move on because I don't know. Something that was in 1 Thessalonians, I thought 1, 6 through 10, that sounded like Revelation 19. Okay. 1 Thessalonians or 2nd?
2nd.
But I thought I read that. I don't think that's it. Oh well, we'll move on. All right, sounds a lot like Revelation 19 is whatever I was trying to bring there. All right, with me now, go to 2 Kings. Hope I got that right, 2 Kings. I've had so much going on in my head. Sometimes I think I'm straight, but I don't get it on the paper right, evidently. Second Kings 6:8. Oh, this is where I was going to show you about the angel armies here. This is verse 8. Then the king of Syria warned against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, "Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servants said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." He probably going, 1, 2. We'll just go over tonight. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So we know God travels in his chariots with his angels. He does warfare with his angels. Okay, Revelation 20. We don't have a whole lot left. Okay. Revelation 20. This is the part that we all want to see. After the marriage supper of the Lamb, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed for a little season. Okay, little season. That means a short time. All right, the ringleader receives justice. Then I want you to see verses 4 through 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now we talked about the first fruits was Jesus. He's the first one raised up in that manner. It says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I'm just reading it. All right, the first bunch were changed. It indicates they were martyred. That's what it indicates. It says they were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. All right. Now they are like Jesus and will rule with him for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead will be united with their resurrected bodies after the Gog and Magog war at the great white throne judgment. All right. Now verses 11. Same chapter. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we have to remember in the thousand-year reign, I'm not going to read all of these because I'm out of time, but you can write these down. Remember that the thousand-year reign is a natural reign. Men are still mortal. Women still have babies. Lifespans will be longer because of the absence of the devil and his angels. These scriptures are Isaiah 2, 2 through 5, Isaiah 11, 6 through 12, Isaiah 25, 6 through 8, Isaiah 32, 18, Isaiah 35, Isaiah 65, Revelation 21, which I've already read to you, and Revelation 22. I'd like to read Revelation 65, Isaiah 65 right quick, and we'll be done. I'm sought of them that ask not for me. I'm found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense, even recompense unto their bosom. Your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord, which have burned incense upon the mountains and blasphemed me upon the hills, therefore will I measure their former work into their bosom. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it. My servants shall dwell there, and Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down in for my people that have sought me. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forgot my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee, and call his servants by another name. Then he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, because they are hid from mine eyes. For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come unto mind. But ye be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem, and rejoice in her people of joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord.